to be sure. These days continue things we cannot say.
Coleman's Independent Radio. Music there from the Dave Matthews Band, a live version of Two Step. And good afternoon to you. I'm Jay Fuller. It's Thursday, about 4 o'clock. Have y'all heard the weather? They're actually predicting the S word and maybe the I word for early next week. So y'all keep an eye on that. It's time now for our Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live. We do this program every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. It is brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week. You're listening to Coleman's Independent Radio. We are Live 95, WRJM, LP Coleman.
To the shore, these days continue.
All right, a great Thursday afternoon to everyone, and a good Thursday afternoon for Sports Talk Live, because my partner in crime, Ronnie Barnes, back in studio with me. Ronnie, welcome back to Sports Talk.
Thanks, Jason. It's great to be back with you. Sorry I missed some time, but some things are just out of our control, you know.
That's it.
You have to do what you need to do, so glad to be back.
First things first, very capable people sat in, but it's kind of like
Thank Bruce.
Mashed potatoes and gravy, you know, not having you here.
Yeah.
Bruce Parker filled in, Brian Lacey filled in, and Tommy Warhurst filled in. So all of them have done a great job. Appreciate it, but glad to see
absolutely.
You back.
Thanks.
So.
Glad to be back. You know, I would have to say they don't have as sick a mind as when you put us together. I mean, it just it just goes downhill. I mean,
yeah, some things, you know, I would say, and I'm used to you being here and the response you would get, and they would just kind of look at me, and I'd say, well, on to something else. Their mind don't work like ours. That's probably a good thing.
That's a really good thing that their minds do not work like ours. No question about it, Jason. And it's good to see you too, bud.
Hey, a busy time in Coleman County this week. Today at 4:30, we're going to have Coach Tim Willoughby, Cold Springs boys coach, on with us.
Still alive and
still in the hunt.
Still playing, baby.
At 5 o'clock, Dan Vasta, our regular 4:40 guest, will move him to 5. Hopefully he's with Campus Insider. And got a message from him that he possibly won't make it due to a March Madness meeting he is in.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
So we may not have Dan.
Yeah, and I actually got to see a video of him. He sent me the rib section, you know, really important bones or something like that.
Oh,
he had done one on Kentucky, and to put a face with a voice.
Yeah.
And you know how it never matches what you have them picture.
And it doesn't?
No, it don't match.
I wonder how people picture us.
Yeah.
I guarantee it doesn't match.
It might.
Yeah, you're right. I thought about that. I just didn't see it. I didn't want to incriminate us.
At 5:25, possibility, Rex Chambers join us. Ronnie, you got a message from him.
I just got back. He said he doesn't think it's going to be a problem for him to call in. He's down at Clanton. I guess practicing or about to practice or been practicing for a tournament.
Boy, he's tough.
Well, if he's out there today, wow.
I'm telling you, it's not going to get any better.
That north wind blowing, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour on the water. Dang, you better have some warm britches on.
At 5:40, Coach Bobby Meyer, the Coleman Bearcats, also still out. He'll join us.
Yeah.
And honey, one thing I want to bring up, I posted it on my Facebook page and made the comment to you, but for those of you who might not have seen this, Tuesday we had three coaches lined up to talk. Two of the three called in. One must have forgot us.
Yeah.
The two that called in won their games. The coach that didn't call in's team lost Tuesday night. So,
are we
not sure if that tells you anything?
Are we possessed or something? You know,
I do know this. Coach Willoughby, I didn't even have to ask. He wanted to know if he could have the 4:30 spot today. So.
Coaches, they're not. What's the word I'm looking for?
Superstitious.
Superstitious, none whatsoever.
Right.
No, but So. I'll be interested to, you know, to hear from those. I haven't talked to Coach Meyer in a while and haven't seen Coach Willoughby in a couple of weeks from the county tournament.
They are a great interview, too. I mean, you know, some people you talk to, we've interviewed a couple of people that you just have to pick at them.
Yeah,
but
now
you throw a question out there and Coach Willoughby, Coach Meyer both just
run. Go with it.
Oh, yeah, run with it.
Well, they both do a really good job, you know, with their schools and with their programs and the way they teach it and, the way they – the way they run their program. And that's not just because they're both still in the playoffs. I'm not saying it like that. I would say that whether, you know, they won five games or not. But if you watch their teams play, they're well coached. They're fundamentally sound. And they'll get after you.
I guarantee you. And they're coaches that in fact, my son did play for Coach Meyer. But I wouldn't mind my son. In fact, I would have been tickled for my son to play for either one of us.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm right there in the same boat with you. We have some local girls teams, Jason. I may be jumping ahead or whatever. Folks, I'm always have a notebook and always have notes and always have a laptop here. I don't have a laptop. I don't have notes. I don't have jack.
You're here, though.
I'm here.
That's
here.
The important thing.
I've got a phone that is an ancient phone that Jason makes fun of because it's not an iPhone, and I have a pair of glasses. Now, I don't know why
that's
I have my glasses
because
I have nothing to read. But I know we do have some girls' teams still in it.
Cold Springs Fairview still in it. And let's go through Tuesday night scores. And, Ronnie, if you've got any thoughts on any of these games, feel free to
They'll be new to me, I'm telling you, baby.
Cold Springs girls, a winner, and they move on to regional play at Wallace. They defeated Hatton 52-44. Hatton in this game, Ronnie, jumped out to a 20-7 first quarter lead. Still led it to half 31-20.
They were up 11 at the half.
11 at the half. Cold Springs couldn't find the bottom of the net.
Wow. I bet there was a little bit of anxiety going on down in the Blue Eagle country.
Right. They closed it to 1, entering the 4th, and then Cold Springs comes back and beats them 8. Keegan Johnson, 20 points. So the Lady Eagles will play today, I think, at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So they will be playing Campbell.
They're playing tonight, or today.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, again, I apologize because I don't know anything that's going on.
The Fairview girls, winners, and this was actually before this, but we're going to include them because they are still survivors, even though they didn't play Tuesday night. They defeated... I forgot who it was, Lawrence County, maybe?
I believe that's right. I believe I saw that.
And we'll play Ramsey Monday morning at 9 a.m. Boy, the tournament all jacked up this year, the dates.
And the reason for that, Jason, is because they've added that 7th classification.
Oh, okay. That's what we were talking about today, wondering if that was the reason.
That's the reason, because they've added another classification. So they're having to squeeze more games into a shorter period of time. You used to have more time off in between your area tournament, I believe, and when you play the sub-region, or it might have been more time from when we had the county tournament to the area tournament. I don't remember, but they've squeezed all those together, and there's not many dead days anymore, you know, as far as not playing. So that's the reason.
Right, Cold Springs Coleman boys and the girls played Cold Springs girls played Tuesday night also, but Cold Springs played Tuesday night and then we'll turn around and play again tonight. So one day in between, like you said, you used to have close to a week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So they played their sub-region Tuesday and they're playing tonight at Wallace.
Tonight.
Wow. Boy, they are squeezing them in there then. And you said they're playing Phil Campbell?
Yeah, the girls will play Phil Campbell. Cold Springs boys also there. They'll play at 7:30 tonight. They will be playing Altamont 19-6. They got there by defeating Red Bay. Altamont defeated Red Bay. Yeah. Get this score, 32-21. Altamont 19-6.
Slowing that thing down.
Points. Right.
Now, Altamont, that's a private school in Birmingham. That's where I've been there before. You just don't know, Jason.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing those private schools, sometimes you just don't know. because in some cases you look at their roster and they may be from all over the country.
Yep.
And you never know what you're going to be playing a really good private school team or you're going to be playing a bad private school team. Seems like.
All right. Cold Springs had no problem with Hatton, 72-53. Tristan Chambers, 37 points, continues. You know, the game before that, I think the area championship, he had 47 points, 17 rebounds. So.
Yeah. I noticed he, certainly not throwing off on him by any means, but he seemed to have struggled at the in the finals of the county tournament. And I think he struggled because I think he was hurt. I don't know if it was an ankle.
He turned his ankle or something. Before that.
Because, you know, he just wasn't, you know, he just wasn't as fluid. He just wasn't, you know, he didn't have that quick stay up. He was a little bit tentative maybe. And, you know, turned ankle will do that to you. But he certainly didn't play up to the level of the player that he is. And I certainly am not throwing off on him because I'm just saying he was hurt. And, you know, for that reason he didn't, you know, maybe play as well as he had hoped to.
He was followed by Josh Freeman with 20 points. Cold Springs now 25-6 on the year, and we'll play Altamont 19-6 tonight at 7:30. As you said, who knows when you're playing a private school?
And
Coleman 15 better than Minor the other night. That kind of surprised me, being that much gap.
Yeah, it did.
It
was like Minor. Was it like 59-42?
Yeah, 57-42.
57. Okay. Something. I knew it was
Lawson Schaefer with 20, Seth Suave 18. Coleman plays Athens tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Athens was a 61-48 winner over Arab. So,
I wonder if Coleman has played Athens this season in the regular season.
I'm not sure.
If they haven't this year, they have it in the past. I think maybe Coach Meyer will answer it for us, but I don't know if they at one time maybe they were in the same area or something or. But I think they've played before, so I'd be interested to get his take on.
No easy game at Wallace, but I'm thinking if I'm Cold Springs and I'm Coleman, they've got to smile a little bit about their draw of who their first game is at Wallace.
Do we know who the other? Do you know who the others are?
In Coleman, it's Lee of Huntsville and Austin. Austin runner up after Coleman beat them, went and won. They're
so he's got
games,
he's got the best draw,
right?
Because I believe, is Lee and Huntsville not ranked number one?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're number one.
So. Okay, and they may have won it last year. I don't know.
Cold Springs, the other side, I think, I know one of them is Tanner, and I think the other is Tarrant. So
Tanner and Tarrant.
Cold Springs has beat Tanner three times this year, 4 points in each game.
Man.
And, you know, Chambers in the area championship hit a three at the end of the game to send it into overtime.
Those are the kinds that scare you to death because, you know, you play somebody over and over and over, and if they played you close, you know, every time, boy, you just think, you know, somewhere down the road they're going to get over the hump, you know?
And Tanner 6-0 at Wallace playing Cold Springs. So.
Well.
Is this the year things change?
Exactly. Can it be 6-1?
Yeah.
We hope so.
A lot of good basketball to talk about. Let's go. We were through with the survivors. Those teams survived. Run down them right quick. Yeah. Cold Springs girls, Fairview girls, the Cold Springs boys, and the Coleman boys.
So
now,
we've got four teams left in the county that still play.
And all of them will be playing at Wallace.
Yeah.
No going to
Jacksonville
or wherever.
Yeah. The dream is still alive to get to Birmingham.
Holly Pond, unfortunately, Holly Pond lost to West Morgan, who is number four in the state. Boy, their area matched up
what a
to
killer.
West Morgan.
You don't see that in the sub-region when you're hosting, you know? I mean, most of the time, not all certainly, but most of the time, if you win your area and you're playing that sub-region game at home, the vast majority of time you win that.
Right.
And many times you win it going away. But, hey, in this case, you know, with Holly Pond, you got to turn right around and play West Morgan, who's ranked number four. And I'm sure they've got athletes.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow, that's a tough,
those two
tough
areas
draw.
That match up had number one Holly Pond, number two Madison Academy, and number four West Morgan in those two areas. Three of the top four in those two areas.
Maybe you could say that may be the four best teams in the state.
Very possible.
You know, and they're all just knocked one another off before they ever got to Wallace. That's sad. That's tough.
West Point finishes the year at 20-11. They fall to, as we said the other day, SJP2.
St. John Paul II,
47-44 in double overtime.
I saw that too. That is low scoring, isn't it? 47-42 in double overtime.
They had a 11-point lead in the first half, led by six with less than 2 minutes remaining, but it just wasn't to be that night.
Yeah. So. Sometimes it happens that way, you know.
Coach Greg Boatwright and St. Bernard end the year at 13-11. They lost to Decatur Heritage 54-40. Vinemont fell to number 2, Madison Academy 80-60. Vinemont playing without senior guard Lance Stanley, involved in a car accident.
I heard that. I was wondering if he was able to play, but he was not. So,
and he's certainly one of their better players. Right, and I don't mean to take a slap at Vinemont, as you said earlier on. But if they're not getting LeBron James, if he's not sitting out, it's going to be tough to beat Madison Academy.
Sure.
Another private school, and we've talked about that in the past.
I think that's who Vinemont played last year at the regionals was Madison Academy. Yeah.
And people look at, we were talking about this, people look at Madison Academy at 13-14-11, 13-14-12, whatever the record is.
Don't go by those records.
Don't let that fool you, because they're playing Lee of Huntsville.
That's right.
These teams.
They play a whole different schedule than what we play right here.
Right, and that makes them better at the end of the year, though. I mean, they're beating during the year, but come tournament time, they're always
they're going to hand out some beatings.
Right,
and it's at the perfect time, you know, at the end of the season when you're trying to get to the state tournament, you know, and win a state championship.
Well, something I want to bring up now, I'm not sure we'll finish this topic, we might, but Coach Willoughby will be calling in at 4:30, and we've got to get a break in before then, but a little controversy erupted on Twitter a week or so ago, and it has...
Were you involved?
I stayed out of it, just read it.
Are you a
I have my opinion on it.
You tweet a little, don't you?
Isn't that what it's called, though?
Yeah,
very little.
You a tweeter?
Right.
I don't even know what... Do you do it on your phone?
Yeah,
I don't even know how you do it.
You can do it on your phone.
Okay. I didn't know how you do it.
Need to get a smartphone.
Yeah.
I don't need that mess. Oh, you would... So many
things. Complicate my life.
Who leads Coleman and the question in scoring, or who leads Coleman County in scoring?
Oh, I know.
Now here's the debate. Okay, Jared Hembry holds the Coleman County scoring record.
That's right.
Bronte Harris holds the Coleman scoring record, and if you move him out into the county, he's played 1 year at Coleman.
Right.
So he actually holds the Coleman County record, even though he played 1 year at Coleman. Now,
does he hold the scoring record for Coleman High School?
I'm not sure. He's only played 1 year there, so I'm sure he wouldn't hold the scoring record, but as far as career points, he might.
But if we're talking about the leader of Coleman County, and if we want to play the argument that, you know, Coleman City is part of Coleman County, then he would seemingly hold the record for Coleman as well, wouldn't he?
Now, so we would need to look back and see if anybody has actually scored more points than Hembry that has played Coleman in the past years.
I think the answer to that's no.
So Hembry is the record holder, unless we count Bronte. Now, none of this is going to matter because Tristan Chambers
it's all a moot point. Yeah. You know, by December next year or sooner than that, it's a moot point anyway.
Yeah, isn't the record 2,200 and some odd points?
Yeah, something like that.
And I think Chambers is closing in on 2,100 right now.
Oh, easy.
He's
okay.
A year to go,
so. Okay, so he might break that in the first five games.
he would have a shot at it this year
if they continue to play.
Yeah, if they get a state finals.
So he's what? He's 100 points behind now?
Yeah, probably
like
100, between 100 and 150, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so okay.
Not too far.
No, not, you know. Not when you're averaging what he's averaging, which I don't know what it is, probably 25 to 30 a game.
Oh, yeah. I would say he's at least in that range. And understand.
It won't take long to get to 150 points if you average 30 a game, will it, Jason?
I wouldn't know from my playing experience, but.
You would have scored 150, but it was the whole career.
Yeah. Coach Willoughby, we talked to him the other day and asked how many schools or who that he could say was interested in Tristan. He said it's somebody new all.
Is that right?
Said that yeah. day that he had one or two more schools to call. The area championship UAB head coach was at the game, and I think UAB, not their head coach, but a UAB representative was at the sub-region game.
Yeah, so. I've heard that UAB has just been all over him, wanting him. So,
and hopefully he will sign wherever he wants to and enjoy a good career.
And I'd like for Coach Willoughby, when he calls, is to talk a little bit about that, too, because, you know, every year you don't have that distraction, and that is a distraction, or it can be a huge distraction, not only to you as a coach, but that one kid, but it can also become a huge distraction within your whole team concept. Right. I'd like for him, if he could, you know, tell us how they are managing that, handling that, that it doesn't affect his club, so.
All right, Jay, if you'll take us to a quick break, 4:19, we'll come back, talk a few minutes, and then Coach Willoughby will join us around 4:30, the Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live. We'll be right back.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com. You know, I thought after the State of the Union, when Obama said there would be no more crises in the United States, we wouldn't have to do this week live anymore.
I don't know which speechwriter told him that. Maybe he just thought the newly elected Republican Congress would come in and everything would be rosy.
Ooh, well, we just won't have anything to talk about now, will we?
There's always news, whether it's local, statewide, or national.
Yeah, there's nothing happening in the state of Alabama right now. Can you say gay marriage?
And I can always find some political scandal happening.
Oh, please, let me help. All right, pull up a web browser. Go Google open internet, Google net neutrality. You know, nothing like your broadband bill going up. I'm sure it's not a tax. It's a penalty, right?
At least we still have free speech for now.
So This Week Live is back at a new time. Tune in still on Mondays, but now from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock, right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
All right, the sound of money.
The sweet sound of money, baby.
Hey, this sound of money means that it is time for Where's Moolah, brought to you by People's Bank of Alabama. They are gracious enough to sponsor this segment and give away cold cash.
That's it. Free money.
Nothing hard about it. You don't have to go out and get cold and look for it. You can sit there in your recliner and just think.
How much easier can it be to earn money?
That's it.
And just listen to a few clues and guess.
Ask Cindy. She can tell you how easy
it is. That's easier than going to the casino.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't put any of your money up for grabs.
That's exactly
right. It's just people's bank money.
Doesn't cost you jack, does it?
That's it. All right, let's catch everybody up. Ronnie will catch you up. The first two clues we gave were you might look with wings, and I'm going to change that a little bit. How about look around wings?
Okay.
The sum of the road is 4, and today's clue is... Road. If you smell a biscuit while hunting moolah, you might be getting close.
Oh.
If you smell a biscuit while hunting moolah, you might be getting close. Yes. So, and I've told people.
Okay, I'm asking questions here that you may not want to answer. Is this anywhere in the state of Alabama?
No, I narrowed it down to Coleman County. I told them it's in Coleman County.
I got you. All right.
Told them since you weren't here, I was going to make it a little easier on them.
I got you. All right, that's what I needed to know. So it is in Coleman County somewhere. Right.
The some of the road is four. You might smell biscuits if you're getting close to moolah.
Yeah.
And look around wings or with wings, however you want to see it.
I got you.
The number, 256-737-9951.
Doesn't cost a thing to guess.
It's free.
And you already got three clues. Somebody ought to guess.
Yeah, I think somebody is close.
Oh, you think so? Already?
I think they're already close.
Oh, okay. See, I'm so far out of it.
Yeah. Cindy took a good guess.
Cindy's guess for this one?
I actually told her, I said, if you can get it with those first two clues, I'll go ahead and give it to you.
All right, how much are we giving away here?
$50.
$50,000.
Not $50,000. if it's $50,000, that will come out of Ronnie Barnes' bank account. It won't come out of mine because there's not $50,000 in mine.
Spiegel Contracting, not Jason Spiegel's personal account. Spiegel Contracting. We'll pay the remaining balance after People's Bank gives the $50.
Right. And if you believe that, just go on over to Ronnie's house and wait on me there. I'll bring it to his house tonight. So.
Oh, $50. For somebody who can find moolah.
People bank money, gotta love it. So.
Hey, it's the best kind, free money.
Honey, I hadn't had a chance to talk to you. We've got about 5 minutes, so what are your thoughts on the Alabama and Auburn recruiting class? Alabama number one again?
Of course. Well, honestly, Jason, being straight up, I haven't even looked at it very close or anything like that. I know that Alabama ended up with the supposedly the top recruiting class, and I don't know what that, I don't know what that means. They've had the top recruiting class for the last, I guess, 4 or 5 years, and certainly, certainly they have an outstanding program. We'll talk more about it later, but it's not a surprise. I do remember this. I believe, Jason, the top 10, the way they ranked them, I guess ESPN top 10 recruiting classes, 7 of those were from the SEC.
Right.
I believe that's right.
And Auburn gets the Cowart kid.
The number one.
He moves them up 5 spots by himself.
And so, and they finished up where?
I think Auburn, at number 7. I think they were projected 12 and ends up at 7.
I got to ask you something about that kid, too, so in a minute. So, anyway.
Hey, we got a somebody wants to take a guess at moolah, and it's none other than Bruce Parker. Bruce, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. What's going on?
Not much. Not a whole lot.
You going to a ball game tonight?
Yeah, we're headed that way right now, matter of fact.
I figured you would be.
Yeah, we're headed that way.
How about bringing back a couple of wins?
Well, we'll hope so. Maybe we can get them tonight. I mean, it'll be tough. I know you get this far, they're all pretty tough. But, but maybe they can get wins tonight.
Yeah, Bruce, do you know where moolah is hidden?
Well, we're going to take a guess. Kentucky Fried Chicken on Highway 31.
No, man, that is a great guess.
That was one I was thinking. Even though I knew where it was, Bruce, that's where I thought. Somebody's going to guess KFC.
Yeah, that's what came to mind. So we were actually on 31 and C. I've been
telling
them 31. I said, well, that might be it. So we're
going to
take a guess.
Hey, that's a good guess, Bruce.
All right, fellas.
Hey, Bruce, be careful and get some wins.
Okay.
Hey, Bruce, before you go, what time are the games now?
Cold Springs girls play at 6.
Okay.
And the boys play at 7:30.
Okay. 6 and 7:30.
Yeah.
You got it. All right, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank
y'all. All right.
Bye-bye.
There's you a good guy.
Oh, yeah. He's as good as they come.
Absolutely.
So you won't hear anybody say anything bad about Bruce. If they do, they're lying.
They're lying. He's a lot better than either one of us.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no doubt about that.
I mean, we at the bottom of the barrel. That's a good guess, Bruce.
The number again, 737-9951. If you want to take a guess at where moolah is, Coach Willoughby will be joining us. Line will be tied up for a little bit, so bear with us.
That's right.
When he hangs up, better jump in there.
Yeah, and you better jump quick if you want to jump before he gets there, because I think it's about, 2 minutes, and he's supposed to.
Yeah, and Coach Willoughby is usually pretty punctual. If he tells you 4:30,
yeah,
it will be 4:30. Now, our clock may say 4:31 or 32, but rest assured, his clock will be there.
I hear the clock. I hear the phone now.
You'll
bet that's Coach Willoughby or somebody guessing Moolah?
I'm going to guess Moolah.
I'm going to guess Willoughby. Straight for another
state. You already owe me a couple of states.
I owe you two. This will be three.
All right. There's a bet.
Dang. That'll make it three.
I have lost again.
All right. Got another stab at Moolah. Sandra Kelly. Going to take a guess. Sandra, previous winner.
That's right. I
don't know if she is legal to go.
Yes.
She's legal.
It's been a while since I've won.
Oh, Sandra, good luck. And where do you think Moolah may be heading?
Guthrie's Chicken.
No, another good
another
guess.
Another good guess.
But not at Guthrie's. So.
Okay.
Hey, Sandra.
Another clue.
Hey, is this a War Eagle or a Roe Tide?
It's a War Eagle.
I knew it. I knew it. I remembered it from the last time. Why did I ask again?
He's going to ask that every time, even though you tell him that every time.
That's right. Thanks for calling, Sandra.
To ask.
That's right. You know, even though you get disappointed sometimes.
Thanks, Sandra.
Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, right. I owe you another one.
That's it. I like free steaks.
I'm going to have to get another
question
job.
The question is, when am I going to collect on any
well,
of these?
We were supposed to have already collected.
Yeah,
we?
And something come up, yeah. Come up that I was
yeah,
gone
something
somewhere
you were
or
gone.
Something. So.
Maybe one day next week. Later in the week when it warms up, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the first of the week looking icy.
That's what you and Jay were saying earlier. It was like it could be nasty. I
Monday,
hadn't heard that.
Monday, 90% chance of rain, ice, a little sleet mixed in. Monday night going to be cold.
Any kind of accumulation, are they saying?
Right now they're saying mainly bridges and overpasses up until Tuesday night into Wednesday, and then it's all bets are off.
Wow.
It could change over to snow, and they're saying probably no more than 1 inch of accumulation.
So we're...
But if you but listen to 13, they're giving it to be 57 degrees.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah.
Put your shorts on and get your golf clubs out, huh? Oh, man. So.
And you get that in Alabama with the weather. One channel will be saying snow, 6 inches of snow. The other will be saying it's going to be 75 and
that's
sunny.
Right. So. That's right. You just never know. I think we need to be a weatherman.
Yeah.
Ain't no pressure on you.
No.
The only time there's any pressure if it's bad weather.
I would give 50% rain every day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're going to be right every day. Either it's going to rain or it's not going to rain.
That's exactly right. So
the clock says 4:30. I'll bet you a stake that is Coach Willoughby.
I know that one is. I'm not going again. I mean, I'm never going to be able to pay up anyway. I'm
three down. You don't go double or nothing.
No, I'm not going double or nothing.
I'll feed the whole family.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Real quick, again, Cold Springs girls tonight at 6. The boys tip off around 7:30.
Yeah.
In the morning, Coleman boys face Athens at 10:30. Fairview girls Monday, 9 a.m. And I think we have Coach Tim Willoughby on the line with us. Just as I said, Coach, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thank you very much, Jason. How you doing?
Hey, great. I've got my old sidekick, Ronnie Barnes, sitting here with me today. And so, man, we've got a few questions
for
you.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
All right, there may be too much brain power here, but go ahead.
Hey, you can put both our brains in a thimble and shake it, and it'll rattle.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Coach, first, congratulations on the win the other night. It went fairly easy for you. I guess that's the kind you like. So.
Yeah, well, we got off to a fast start. We needed to, and... So got off to a really good start, had a really good first quarter. So, you know, it was good to have that.
Right.
As I talked to you guys, I guess it was Monday, we didn't want to be behind that team. So I was pleased.
What does it look like tonight, Altamont? People look at the score, 32-21 winners, and think, boy, Coast Springs will blow this bunch off the court, only 32 points.
Yeah, no, that's it was a really unusual game. They actually held the basketball and kept that score down.
Oh, okay.
So I went to see Altamont on Friday night, and they played Tarrant, and that score was in the 70s.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah, so that's really just a wide variation. But what happened in that game is Red Bay was in a 2-3 zone, and Altamont actually trailed for a little while in the at the half. They trailed, and so I think the coach at Altamont decided he wanted to play against the man-to-man, and once he took the lead, he pulled it out at half court, put the ball on his hip, and Red Bay was content to let that happen. So about five, six minutes went off the clock, just like, you know, with the guys just standing there.
Hey, Coach, you're talking about that you saw Altamont. What about that club, or is there something about that club that concerns you or kind of can give you problems? I mean, are they big? Are they quick, small? Yeah. I mean, what do they do that might cause you some problems?
Yeah, the answer's they're all of the above. They've got their tallest players 6'7". They go 6'7", 6'4", 6'3", across the front.
Oh, wow.
They've got a really, really good point guard. I really believe that he's going to be the best point guard we've seen this year. He's really quick. He's a good perimeter shooter, but his speed and quickness is the most worrisome. And then they got another guard and a wing player that are good from the perimeter. You know, good three
right.
pointers.
Right.
So you got, you know, I mean, they've got a lot. I mean, they've got a lot.
How about their big kids, Coach? Are they athletic? You know.
Yeah. The funny thing, the 6'7" player, he starts sometimes, but he doesn't start all the time.
Uh-huh.
Probably the 6'4" is their best post player.
Okay.
The 6'7" the 6'7" player is obviously that kind of height makes it difficult on you defensively.
Sure.
But he's not as skilled offensively as the 6'4" kid. But the thing is, they can play them both if they want to.
Right. But you need to be able to keep, you know, like you said, he may not have great skill, but you don't need to let him be getting offensive boards, you know, from 2 feet, you know, and just sticking them back in.
Yeah, he can hit those, you know.
Yeah.
And so boxing out becomes and the other thing, Altamont's really solid fundamentally.
Yes.
So if they do a good job, they're going to run their offense. And even though I think they've got guys that can score, the game I was telling you about that I saw Friday night, Tarrant wants to play real fast, so therefore Altamont played with them, and, you know, they score in the 70s. But I think they're more comfortable playing in the 50s.
Right.
And they'll be patient, and they'll, you know, fundamentally sound, and a point guard that will really push it. And if you don't get back in transition, they'll score 100, you know.
I got you.
But if you'll get back in transition, you know, then they'll settle in. They won't take a bad shot. They'll settle in and work the basketball and, you know, get what they want. So it'll be tough.
Right. What do you guys, what do y'all have to do well to be successful, Coach?
I think when I play a game like this, I always tell my players, if you don't get back in transition, nothing else matters.
Right.
And this player, you know, the point guard, you know, is that good. So if we can't get back, he's a left-handed kid, and I don't know what it is, but left-handers seem like to me they really are, you know, everybody's got a dominant hand, but left-handers seem to me to be more dominant.
Sure.
But we got to really try to turn him away from his left. I think that's important. If we can get back in transition, then, you know, rebounding and, you know, with a team that's that kind of size,
right,
then that becomes important too. So.
Gotcha. Hey, I got one more question, Coach, and I'm going to turn you over to Jason. But my question is not about the game tonight. I want to ask you about, you know, Tristan Chambers. He's had a great year. Certainly he's got people looking at him to play at the next level. How are you handling that? And I know you've handled it before because you've been places that's had, you know, college players and those kind of things, so you have experience at that. But can you kind of tell us how you handle that to make sure that, you know, he stays grounded and it doesn't affect your team, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, the most important thing, and I've told Tristan this, I know he's heard it till he's tired of hearing it, but look, he's a Division I player. And so, I mean, I told Tristan many, many times, look, son, where you're going, everybody's going to be a high school superstar.
Right.
So you got to have something a little bit different. And that's, you know, I think being humble and just having an attitude of being able, you know, being hungry and wanting to get better. But now here's the thing, and this is the honest truth, and I wouldn't say it if it weren't. That's not a problem with Tristan because he's that kind of, that's just the kind of kid he is.
Right.
I mean, he really wants to be better, and you know, he'll play a game, and he's just kind of a stoic, you know, sort of stone faced
right.
in the games, and he doesn't, you know, he's just that kind, and he wants to win games. So from his point of view, it's not a problem. Now, I'll tell you, at the beginning, and this started last year, when you start getting coaches coming to watch practice, and you start getting coaches showing up games, now it creates a little bit of a distraction. But the good thing is that we had a coach in yesterday at practice. We had a couple coaches in our last game. We're going to have some tonight. But the thing is, it's happened quite a bit, and everybody's used to it. It's like anything else.
The knee wears off. Yeah.
You can get used to anything, and it becomes routine. So
right.
that's really not an issue for us anymore, I don't think.
Good. Thanks, Coach.
Sure.
Hey, Coach, on the other side of the bracket, Tanner, that you're well familiar with, people are already hoping to see, and you're probably not one of them, but probably a lot of people hoping to see a Cold Springs-Tanner rematch for number four. How tough would it be if you do face Tanner and have to beat him the fourth time this year?
It'll be very, very difficult, and there is that talk. I know some of the players, they're talking about that, but you got it. That is not even on the radar.
Right.
It's not to me, and I told the players that's not important. You're talking about things that just don't register. So we got to focus, you know, everything we've got on Altamont, and you know, I mean, you don't know how these games go, but we gotta do everything we can to stay here, you know, tonight.
Right.
And try to take care of business here.
Right, you got a big one tonight before you have to worry about that. And one positive, Cold Springs has made a couple appearances on the court there at Wallace. This will be a new situation for Altamont. So how big of an advantage is that for Cold Springs?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you hit it. I hope it's a big advantage. I know we in the summer even, we come here a couple times and play, you know, on the summer play dates. And then we're able to play in the county tournament. And I remember we had to play Vinemont, and that was not going to be in the semifinals of the county tournament. And Vinemont had played us tough twice. And the big thing, everybody was talking about Cold Springs and Holly Pond, but we had to focus on Vinemont. But I told the players, what we need to do, we need to beat Vinemont so we can get that big, hyped-up game against Holly Pond.
Right.
And we were able to do that. Now, we weren't able to win it, but we were able to play in it. And I think that's a big advantage for us. I hope it is. And it really is. I'm disappointed. I was disappointed that we didn't win the game, but I was thankful for the opportunity to play in a game where, you know, people were hyping it and playing here at the regional tournament site.
Right. In fact, I had called that, Ronnie and I talked about it at the beginning of the year. I'd called a Cold Springs, Holly Pond, county championship before the year started, and I was glad you were there too because it made me right.
So. Hey, listen, we all want to be proven right, but it really, you know, you want to win games, but it gets down now. It's if you don't win, it's over. So we all face elimination now, and that Holly Pond game, we knew that there was basketball after that,
right?
But there was a big crowd that night, and the players were nervous. And the fans were excited, and I was about sick at my stomach, and all those things. It's like a practice run for this, and you know, I mean, I hope it helps us, but you know, who knows how these things turn out.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I had a coach. It's funny. I have a buddy of mine that we go to the state tournament together every year, go down and watch games, and he has not seen a basketball game all year. He lives in Scottsboro, and he drove down and watched y'all in Holly Pond in the finals. He said, man, I want to see number ones and two and 3A. And I said, well, come on down.
That game, Tristan had hurt his ankle in the semis the night before.
Right.
And he was undergoing treatment, and he played, but he really struggled in that game. And I don't think people know, we didn't say anything about it, tried not to, but
right.
he was really, I mean, he scored, I don't remember how many he scored. He scored a bunch. Tristan can score. I think he could, you know, tie one hand behind his back and he can score.
Yeah.
But it affected him in other ways. And, so it, that was a kind of a tough game, I think, and a frustrating game.
Right.
But the good news is, you know, he's, I think he's at 100%. So.
And right now is when you need him to be.
I mean, that, this is when it matters.
That's
so,
right.
You know, just, hey, you just gotta play as hard as you can and kind of hope for the best and have attitude that you're gonna do whatever it takes to win a game. And so I think that's where we're at. We just gotta see how it shakes out.
Great. Coach, one more question. We'll let you go. We've used up about 15 minutes of your time. Let's just say when you get the win tonight, what's next, what time, and so forth for Cold Springs.
The next game, if we get it tonight, our next game is not until Monday. And that will be a blessing that you can't imagine because we played Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, and now again Thursday. And most of those, we're scrambling to get film and information on teams. And I mean, there was the night that we beat Hatton at 1 o'clock that night. I'm watching film, trying to get film on Altamont. Everything's on the computer now, so you can get people to send it to you online. You know,
right?
It's just if you know you when you have to play a game against a team you don't know, and you have one practice day to prepare for another team you don't know. As a coach, now players I think like that stuff, but as a coach, you know you want to try to get some questions answered, and boy. It's been tough, but we'd be off. We'd have a weekend anyway. We'd be off until Monday if we win tonight.
Right, and all of that, Coach. That's mainly due to the adding that seventh classification, correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's bumped everything close together.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing that 2A just happened to get the draw and play
right.
The first day.
Exactly. Exactly.
So. The worst is tonight, having to play Tuesday against a team that we had never seen.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Hatton upset Mars Hill. I had been scouting Mars Hill 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So Hatton upset them and sort of threw a kink in the plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I sort of thought it might be Altamont, so I've been looking at them for a few, you know, a week or two ago. So.
Right.
But one day of practice, but who knows how it'll turn out.
Hey, maybe it'll be great. Just have a great day of practice. Attribute it all to the practice play.
Yeah, well, hey, maybe one day of practice I didn't have enough time to
mess them up. That's right. Couldn't screw them up in one day.
That's what I'm going to tell myself if it goes bad.
That's it.
All right, Coach. I know you got a million things going, and we really appreciate you taking time to join us this afternoon. We wish you the best of luck and bring back the victory.
Thank you very much. I hope we do.
All right. Thanks Coach.
Coach.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Coach Tim Willoughby, Cold Springs Eagles.
Does an outstanding job.
Oh, yeah.
I saw his teams, Jason. He was at Sparkman and played in the state finals several years ago, and Sparkman was at that time they were certainly one of the largest schools in the state, probably in top five largest schools. So he knows how to coach basketball.
Oh, yeah, and he's fun to watch coach basketball.
Yeah, he gets into it.
He's not going to sit there quietly.
Exactly.
If you're wanting a coach that sits there quietly, you need to go watch
somebody
else.
Go watch Anthony Grant.
Yeah, right.
You know,
Anthony Grant is now planning his move. He's getting the rental vans and the boxes.
And I'm sure that's a topic for some other time or a little later today or whatever.
Yeah, but in fact, that'll come up when we talk to Dan Boston in a little while.
Okay, so. Okay.
All right, I guess we need to take a break. The number again, if you want to take a guess at Moolah, 256-737-9951. We've had a couple of guesses, but nobody got it.
Nobody bingoed it.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Thursday edition.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
You know, I thought after the State of the Union, when Obama said there would be no more crises in the United States, we wouldn't have to do this week live anymore.
I don't know which speechwriter told him that. Maybe he just thought the newly elected Republican Congress would come in and everything would be rosy.
Ooh, well, we just won't have anything to talk about now, will we?
There's always news, whether it's local, statewide, or national.
Yeah, there's nothing happening in the state of Alabama right now. Can you say gay marriage?
And I can always find some political scandal happening.
Oh, please, let me help. All right, pull up a web browser. Go Google open internet, Google net neutrality. You know, nothing like your broadband bill going up. I'm sure it's not a tax. It's a penalty, right?
At least we still have free speech for now.
So This Week Live is back at a new time. Tune in still on Mondays, but now from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock, right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
We're Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. No 3-minute radio edits of songs. We play the whole thing. We don't cut songs off in the middle just because they get a little intense like the light station does. Does that annoy you? Yay. It annoys us too. We're Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
All right, 4:51.
On a blustery afternoon.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you, I'm thinking about right before we came back on the air, Rex is out in this on the waters.
Man is mentally unstable.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
No doubt, there's no way.
I mean, if I've got basketball in a warm gym, popcorn, Coke.
Yeah,
oh,
makes
man.
Sense.
Or a fishing boat sitting out in 20-mile-an-hour winds and the temperature in the 30s.
There's no and choice. I love to fish. And I like to win. I like to fish in the winter.
Oh, I mean, no. Yeah. Even in my crazy days, I didn't
you
fish
didn't
winter
fish?
No.
The biggest fish you catch would be in the wintertime.
Not me.
Because you're not going.
I won't be out there. If I catch a fish in the wintertime, he's going to have to jump out on the road in front of me or something.
If you're not a man, just say it.
I'm
just
not a man. Okay. If it takes fishing in the wintertime and knocking ice off your line. And
No. Well, at least you know. You feel good about yourself.
That's it. We've got another guest at Moolah. And before Dan calls us at 5 right now, we've got Sandy from Dodge City going to take a stab at Moolah. Sandy, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Do you know where Moolah is located?
Is it on Hardee's on 31?
No, not at Hardee's on 31.
Good guess.
All right.
Close?
Right Highway.
Yeah, Right Highway.
Hey, I haven't played in a long time. You gotta help me out.
And you're in the right county.
Oh, Jason. That's a post-line team.
Wrong side of the road.
Alrighty, well, I thought I'd check
it
again.
Oh. Alright, thanks.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, Sandy.
Another good guess, and Ronnie just gave a good clue. I don't know how many people caught that, but.
Well, you didn't have it. You turned around and gave it again.
I'm going to go ahead and give it again. We'll give three clues today. She guessed Hardee's. She guessed Hardee's, and Ronnie said, say it again, Ronnie, this is the clue.
I said it's on the wrong side of the road.
That's okay, what. So now figure it out. And we'll give another clue before we go off the air today, because I really don't think anybody's going to solve it.
Not for what they're guessing right now. No, they're good guesses.
Right, they are.
They're not.
They make a lot.
They are
sense.
Logical guesses.
Yes, they make a lot more sense than where it's hidden.
The problem is, we don't do things that are logical. So,
right.
So,
folks, keep in mind, as Ronnie has emphasized many times, our mind don't work like
that's
most
right.
people's.
It doesn't work at all.
Right. So, the biscuit comment
got
everybody guessing it in restaurants.
That's right.
And which is.
You're giving
very
clues.
Good. Yeah, that's very good guess. That's all I'm going
to
say.
You're trying to dig yourself out of that, is what you're trying to do. This one's going to take some thought. How about that?
Right, it will.
I mean, it's going to take more clues, too.
Oh, yeah. I think probably two or three more.
Two or three dozen.
At least it's not in a place that people have never heard of.
That's true.
Ronnie has took us all over North Alabama.
That's right. Honey. That's right. Yep.
All right. 4:54. Got time to take a few more guesses at Moolah. Dan Vosta will be calling. Got a few questions for him. Going to talk college basketball with Dan today. Dan,
I'd like to hear what his thoughts are on.
And did you get
the world of college basketball?
I'd like to play this. I'd like to play it on the air. Tyler played it for me today. But did you hear the interview with the Georgia coach after the Texas A&M game?
No.
His voice had left him.
No.
Oh, it is hilarious. But right now we've got Dan Vosta on the line with us. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. A little different time, but glad to have you back. And Dan said in his text that he could be having phone trouble. He's on his way home now from the office. And so.
Yeah. Dan.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Great. Thanks for joining us at a little bit of a different time today.
Yeah, no worries. Happy Thursday. Thanks for having me on.
Same to you. Hey, what's the weather like up there? I got to know.
today was a rough one. I think it was, this morning at least, it was, low teens and then even below that.
Oh.
So, certainly a cold one. One this week. First 2 days, not too bad. Obviously, today was a little bad, but no issues here because I work inside, not outside. But that's the good news.
Absolutely. Good deal, Dan.
Hey, Dan. Around here, it is tournament time for the local high schools working their way into the state tournament. A lot of local teams involved in this. College basketball, we're really in the heart, in the meat of the season. But before we know it, it'll be tournament time in college basketball. Right now, if you had to name four number one seeds, who would they be?
Yeah, I think certainly Kentucky's pretty much a mortal lock. They have to lose probably at least four games somehow, and they have yet to lose one. So they're pretty much the number one overall seed, barring a disaster. And obviously you're looking at the ACC to potentially take the next two spots. So right now I would give an edge to Virginia, number two. I would put Duke at the fourth number one seed, and I'd slip in Gonzaga there at the third number one seed. So those would be my 4-1 seed. Certainly if Gonzaga loses, they'll immediately drop to 2 seed. We'll almost have 0% chance of getting back into that 1 seed, barring everybody loses. But certainly the West region would love to have Gonzaga as the 1 seed, but they lose a game to more than likely a team on their schedule remaining that's, below average in terms of not even making the NIT. They would probably drop a few seed lengths to at least 2 seed. So, but Gonzaga's only one loss in overtime to Arizona. So those would be my 4-1. And certainly, I think Virginia, behind Kentucky are almost locked in terms of Virginia, at least. I had a big win last night. It's only one loss in the season. They're going to have to lose at least a couple more games to potentially drop that. So those two or three are pretty much locked, and we'll see how the rest of it shakes up with Duke still potentially facing North Carolina three more times, at least two in the regular season before the ACC tournament play starts.
Hey, Dan, talking about picking the top four there, what do you think the chances are of Kentucky running the table, winning the national championship, being undefeated? You think it's possible?
Try us again, Dan. He sounds like he is talking from my house.
He got phone trouble.
Right.
How can you have phone trouble up in that area?
The big building's getting in the way.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have that here. Hey, Dan, got us? Okay, we heard a little bit of what I think I made out what you said there. Tell us about what you think about Kentucky running table.
And the cell signal not wanting to cooperate, we completely lost
him
now.
He gone.
Yeah, he gone. Well, Ronnie, I'll take that question.
Okay, I'm posing it to you.
I'm
going to
say
Jason.
No. They're going to slip up somewhere.
That's your
opinion.
I don't
know where. Right. I have no idea
that
where.
They will not go undefeated and run the table.
It's just too hard odds.
When was the last time that was done? It was back in the mid-70s, I think.
Would it have been a UCLA team?
No, it was an Indiana team.
Indiana Hoosiers. If it's been in the 70s, that tells you how hard that is to accomplish.
That's right. But you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, and I said this before the season started, that they would run the table and win the national championship.
You want to bet a stake on it?
Yes, I do.
All right.
What's the difference in the 3 and 4? You know, I mean, I've lost every time to you, so why should anything change now? So,
giving hand signals here, Dan. Well, we're not giving hand signals at Dan. We're giving hand signals to the control room, whether to call him back
or let him call us back.
Yeah. Dan, give us a warning. He might have
issues.
But that is exactly the way my phone does.
Yeah.
At our house.
Yeah.
And I have no idea. I mean, I'm not far out of the city of Pullman, but for some reason, you have to go to one corner and stand next to the window with your phone a certain direction to talk in my house, or you will lose connection every time.
Well, that's my take. I'm saying that Kentucky runs a table.
Ronnie, I'm gonna win another state
off
of you.
You might. Well, hey, they're 21-0 right now.
They're
closer than they were when they were 1-0.
They are about halfway there.
Yeah.
A little over halfway. But not far over halfway.
Yeah, yeah.
Possibility they could play 40 games.
Nine high school All-Americans.
Alabama had the number one recruiting class, last 4 years, but they didn't win the national championship.
Not this year.
So, hey, I want to talk about that a minute. I want your opinion, and here's Dan again, real fast. What is the need for Nick Saban to bring the criminal on board when he's got the number one recruiting class?
I can't answer it.
Nobody can.
Except
for Nick Saban, maybe, and he won't answer.
Yeah, for him, I think it's just, giving somebody a second chance. Blah, blah, blah. And while we all agree with that, but like you and I said, what if that kid had been a 2 or 3-star athlete? Would you give him a second chance?
No, no shot at it. All right, Dan, you back with us?
I am back with you.
All right, good deal.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Dan, let me run that one by you again. Does Kentucky run the table and go undefeated?
I'm going to say they run the table. I think last night or Tuesday night was their toughest game remaining, at least until the SEC tournament. So I'm going to say they run the table going into the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
The answer to that was your question, Factor, in terms of going into the tournament.
No, I want to know, are they going to win the national championship and be undefeated?
Will they go 40-0? I'm going to say no. And you can let the Big Blue Nation floodgate start. I think they're one of the most talented teams I've seen on paper in my lifetime. But history says no team, and I think this team certainly can do it because they are more talented than any team I've seen, arguably. But no team in the history of college basketball has ever went undefeated in conference play, conference tournament, and the NCAA tournament. And I think that the committee is going to give them a bad drawing, and I think it's going to be tough to just reach the Final Four potentially because some two seeds are going to be very dangerous out there, whether it's Wisconsin or Duke.
Yeah.
But I think they will lose a game and more than likely the regional final, the Elite Eight or Final Four. Perhaps the national championship, but I'll say no, they do not win out. But I will tell you, 99% of America, for the most part, will be picking them to win their brackets.
Right. Absolutely.
I think if I had more than one, if I had more than one, I would not pick them to win it all. So, and that's pretty much a given for most people. So,
right.
I think my main one will have them losing just short of that, because I think of how difficult it is.
Exactly. Hey, guys, my question, Dan, is, you know, they've expanded this NCAA tournament to the play-in game. What do you think about this play-in game?
Yeah, certainly I wouldn't say it's the worst thing in the world, because we saw VCU a couple of years ago with Shaka Smart. They went to the Final Four, lost to Butler, lost to Duke in a great national title game. But VCU was originally in the play-in games. I actually got to see them just a couple of days later at the United Center. They defeated Georgetown in the first round. Remember, like it was yesterday, but it was actually about 4 or 5 years ago when they went to the Final Four. And they were a team that destroyed Georgetown. I believe it was a 6-11 matchup, obviously, because VCU was the playing game. So VCU, you know, cruised, eventually beat Florida State and Kansas, shocking, all the way to the Final Four to beat Kansas Elite Eight, and Kansas, as usual, is a premier powerhouse. So that's one reason, that's a pro for why the playing games are important, because if you got a certainly talented team that catches fire, they can go far. They've proven it, like the Rams of VCU did, but more times than not, these teams are mediocre teams that struggle to be 500 in their conference play of 4 months of the whole regular season, didn't really have a chance to prove themselves, or if they did, and they failed to do so. So I think that would personally, for me, outweigh what VCU did, because 68 teams, you have about a dozen or so bubble teams that make it every year, and for the most part, they're no-shows or get dominated, at least in the first week of the tournament. And you're looking at potentially 6 or 7 Big Ten teams maybe get in, and we'll see how they fare, but more times than not, we've seen teams sneak in the tournament and play as if they are NIT teams. So I think when they had 64, I was probably a bigger fan of that as opposed to now currently at 68. But overall, not the end of the world what they're doing, because I love to see some more hoops, and nothing wrong with that for the fans. But certainly those 4 extra teams, I'm not sure it really makes a big difference. The only thing it really helps is for those mid-major teams that are trying to prove themselves and maybe not win their conference tournament, because it's unfortunate for the Stephen F. Austins and Green Bay, Wisconsin, when they go 30-5 or so in the regular season, if they win their conference tournament, unfortunately, more times than not, they won't be playing in March Madness. So that's what it's kind of named for. So I'm not really completely against it, but kind of indifferent. I kind of like the 64 teams they had back in previous years.
I can agree with you more, Dan. Hey, who are your two dark horses? Who do you think? Dark horses win tournament.
Say again?
Who are your two dark horses?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I think LSU really impressed me Tuesday night. I thought that I was on their bandwagon from the beginning of the season. They'll probably be a preseason top 10 team if stuff, you know, Simmons and Blakeney, big shot, hot shots that recruits coming in with their two bigs. I love Mickey down low. I think their team that will probably be a 6 or 7 team come selection Sunday, and there'll be a good chance they'll be making my Sweet 16 in my bracket if they can continue to improve and stay healthy. I wouldn't count on Arkansas either. I like both those teams in the SEC, mainly because I think they're better than what their talent, or at least their talent level, is better than what their seed will show on selection Sunday. And then another conference is the Big Ten. I think Indiana and Ohio State have proven that they can score very well. D'Angelo Russell is probably the best scoring guard in America, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State potentially gets to the Sweet 16 as a 6th or 7th seed. And then the Indiana Hoosiers as well. I think last night they suffered a big loss at Maryland, but they're a team that I think can really put points on the board. Wouldn't be shocked to see them go far.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan, real fast. We've got to talk a little bit about Alabama and Auburn to keep everybody interested. So Auburn is right now basketball. Is said to have the number 12 recruiting class. Alabama, in the meanwhile, is taking bets on what date Anthony Grant will be fired. Could the future look any more opposite for these two teams?
Yeah, probably not really. I mean, certainly expectations. We'll see how the season ends for Alabama. Obviously, nobody really has them projected to come close to making the field, but they are, you know, expected to play at least in the NIT since they are over 500. So, barring a disaster, we'll see if Anthony Grant comes back, and obviously could have a big couple of years. You know, if he comes back next year, it's going to be a lot of pressure. But certainly, Bruce Pearl, good recruiting class. We mentioned that. I think Auburn's got a much higher ceiling, obviously, with Bruce Pearl intact. But as we know, you go to certain programs, you're expected to win, and Alabama's under Anthony Grant, they had a decent, you know, go around early on, but, you know, what have you done for me lately in college sports? And Alabama, unfortunately, has done nothing near really, half as good as with their football program, unfortunately. But they need to make the dance, and it's hasn't been looking good the last years, and they're not really projected to really make the dance by any means this year. So probably an NIT bid, and we'll see go from there. But I think Auburn does have a good chance to potentially have a really bright future and potentially play in the tournament next year.
Hey, Dan, I think, and I may be completely wrong, but I think the last time I looked, Alabama's recruiting class was at number 40.
Number 40.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong.
They were not. No, I don't think they were in my top 30 at least. So, barring they get, you know, a big move up like we saw the Florida Gators do for football, you're not going to do that if you don't land a couple 4 and 5 stars. And obviously, completely different with basketball, where you only get a handful of players in recruiting class. But yeah, you got to have the Jimmys and Joes more times than the X's and the O's, as they
Absolutely.
Say. And that's what I look at for SEC football. It's unfortunate that a lot of hoops in SEC basketball haven't been able to land those. But certainly Kentucky and potentially LSU for next year are two that stand out. But for the most part, outside of Billy Donovan and the Gators, the rest of those teams haven't been able to develop the small talent that they have had appearance into football. And I think you got to get those 4 and 5 stars, or else you're going to be playing more likely for some NIT bids. And sometimes your coaches will be on the hot seat in the meantime.
Yeah, don't you? Do you think the talking about the hot seat? Do you think Anthony Grant's britches are getting warm? Especially he's got to go down to Auburn and play them down there. I mean, that may be the telltale sign for him. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if he can avoid a disastrous finish, he may get another you know, maybe another year or so, but. They got a pair in a tournament in the next year or season, but if it ends disastrous, I wouldn't rule anything out this year because we've seen that in college sports repeatedly. But if he can, you know, stay on par, have a chance to do something special next year, potentially he can get a renewed contract and get that program back in the map. But right now, obviously, Auburn's got a much higher future, much brighter future than Alabama does right now. So Alabama's got to step up, obviously, to close this year out, and maybe they have a deep run if they were to make the NIT. I'm just trying to think realistically here.
Sure.
There's 6 teams right now projecting the SEC to make the dance, and Alabama's not one of those 6. But we never rule anything out, but certainly next year could be a better year for Bama. They're going to need it to be if they want their future to improve with Anthony Grant. But certainly Auburn, like you mentioned, has a much brighter task with a coach like Bruce Pearl.
All right. Dan, before we go to buy, sell, and hold, got one question to finish up with. And this is going to be a mixed question of basketball and football, and then everybody can debate it for themselves. Who do you think is more dominant at their position, Nick Saban at Alabama with football or John Calipari at Kentucky with basketball?
Yeah, I think this question could change in about, 50-something days maybe. But I think right now I would still go heavily leaning towards Nick Saban because he's won the national championships at Alabama, obviously won one at LSU before he came as well. He's dominated the recruiting national ranks, and certainly Calipari has as well for Kentucky, but it's only translated into a national championship loss, a previous Final Four, one national championship, should mention, with an Anthony Davis-led squad, which is one of the better ones we've seen the last couple of years. But they need to get multiple championships, as they say, for a dynasty or for a dominance in college sports. And you could argue Nick Saban, Alabama, still easily, for me at least, the most dominant program in college sports because they've won when it counts. They've won the big games, and Kentucky hasn't done as well as Alabama has. And certainly this year, if they can go 40-0 and win out, I think we could have a better argument at that time. But for now, Nick Saban and the Roll Tide are still the team to beat, despite not winning a national championship this year. So I still lean heavily for Nick Saban and Alabama.
All right, fair enough.
That's the perfect answer.
Ronnie liked that. All right, time for buy, sell, and hold. For those of you not familiar with it, I give out an ideal or a thought, and Dan and Ronnie will give their thoughts. If it's a stock, would they buy it, sell it, or just hold it? Okay, we'll start with you, Dan. When it comes to college basketball, we just talked about coaches. The name John Wooden always comes to my mind. A great coach is a great coach, and Wooden would still be great this day and time.
Yeah, I mean, he's the greatest coach that's ever lived, and certainly it was different times back then. You can't play the freshman and the underclassman, but I think he would dominate kind of like Coach Calipari has at Kentucky for recruiting. So, and you look at the bigs he got to coach with Walton and Jabbar, and the names, the list goes on. So I think you could see that currently he find a way to get the best players. So definitely have to buy wood in terms of dominating the landscape, kind of like Calipari has fairly done so thus far.
Yeah, Dan, I completely agree with that. I'm going to buy that as well. I think John Wooden is the best that's ever coached. I think he's the best that will ever coach. And if you guys, if somebody out there wants a good read, look up and get some of his books. Pyramid of Success, I think, was one of them that you can read. It's not about mm-hmm. so much about basketball. It's about life that can be applied to basketball. But he was so far ahead of his time in the way his ability to think outside of the box. So I don't think there's any question John Wooden would be the best coach if he was coaching today, too.
All right. Both buying that, running yep. to you. When it comes to March Madness, the odds of a sixth seed or lower winning the tournament are slim to none.
Well, I'll buy that.
You're going to buy it?
Absolutely. I think history proves that.
All right, Dan. Ronnie's in the buying mood today.
Yeah, I would normally let the buy, and I'm glad to have Ronnie talking again. Good to have you back to speak, Ronnie. I would normally say slim and none, only because Slim left town more times than not. But I think you look at last year I think proved all the doubters and haters wrong. The UConn Huskies were a 7th seed last year, and they couldn't even beat their first-round opponent, St. Joseph, in regulation, won that game in overtime. But they won the national championship, cut the Nets down as a 7th seed, with Shabazz Napier dominating. So I'd like to say, heck no, but I'm going to have to disagree with Ronnie here, because we've seen recent history, like last year, UConn, many forget, was a 7th seed. So I'm going to have to sell that, just because we've seen it before, and I wouldn't be shocked if we saw it again. I don't think this year may be the best opportunity, but for the overall grand scheme of things, like you asked, I'll have to sell.
Excellent point, Dan. I give you credit for that.
All right. Dan, back to you. Bruce Pearl will have Auburn in the NCAA tournament next season.
I'll buy that. I think I wouldn't, you know, take it to the bank, because we've seen SEC teams in basketball, especially, you could argue in football as well, but bounce back quickly from maybe a not-so-good year with a good recruiting class like Auburn's expected to have, and potentially could get better. And the SEC outside of Kentucky and LSU and you could throw Florida in, really not national powerhouses that consistently win and recruit and get players to stay 4 years and produce like potential NBA players. So wouldn't be shocked at all if Auburn could win 24, 25 games next year and maybe sneak in the dance or get a decent seed. So I'll buy that, because we've seen track record of Bruce Pearl turn things around. So I'm going to buy that because of Bruce Pearl and the fact that SEC basketball isn't near as good as, say, the SEC in football.
Right.
Hey, I buy that. Dan said it perfectly. I couldn't say any better. I've got to pick Auburn to be in the field of 64 next year, because I picked them this year to make it to the NIT. So if I picked them this year to the NIT, right. I've got to pick them being the NCAA, and they're probably not going to make the NIT, but, I certainly believe they have a great opportunity to be in the big dance next year.
Fair enough. All right, Ronnie, back to you. I'm going to go to the other side of the state. Anthony Grant had a decent start this season with the Tide, but now they've kind of fell out of the picture. This is Grant's last season at Alabama.
If Auburn beats them in Auburn and he does not make a deep run in the SEC tournament, if he gets bounced early in the tournament, he's done.
But we're buying, selling, or holding this right now on what you see
okay.
right now.
So you caught me on that, didn't you? Yeah. I'm buying.
You're buying it.
Okay. I bought it.
All right, Dan, what about you?
I think I'm going to hold. I think this is my first hold, at least in a few weeks. I try not to do more than one or two. I'm going to hold for the time being. I would probably lean, though, if you're out of sports. I would probably sell just the fact, I think Alabama has a chance to maybe win that game and finish strongly enough where they get into NIT and maybe don't embarrass themselves as much as some of the faithful and some of the fans have presumed of happening. But I think I would hold for the moment, because I think they have a chance to at least stand pat and be relevant in terms of being an NIT team, being national TV. And you never know, because sometimes the NIT can lead to the better things. But I'm going to hold for the time being. We'll see how they finish.
That's fair enough. Hold is available. So, all right, Dan, back to you. Going a little football, the NFL draft just around the corner. Two quarterbacks will be drafted in the first eight picks.
I'm going to buy that, and that's the biggest buy maybe we've had since, I think, the SEC question of whether football in the SEC is still dominant in the top conference. So, yeah, I'm going to buy that just because those Jets have been not so good offensively for seemingly half a decade. Since Rex Ryan had a few AFC championship appearances, they've been pretty brutal. So I think there's a good chance Mariota goes to the Jets, potentially even before that. And I think Jameis Winston is almost a mortal lock to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in my humble opinion. I think he could have a great success, obviously, with whether it's Lovie Smith that stays there for 3 years. But Mike Evans is a future All-Pro, potentially Hall of Fame receiver. Vincent Jackson still has a few years. Austin Seferian Jenkins. Those three guys could probably play in the SEC for college basketball. They're all 6'5 and taller. They all run as fast as SEC basketball players, or football players, I should mention. So I'm definitely going to buy that. There's so many bad teams in NFL, I'd say at least half a dozen, that have average to below average quarterback play every year for the last decade, I could argue. So I'm going to buy that. And you could argue Winston Mariota for a 1-2 punch in quarterback classes. This is, you know, those 1-2 guys, as good as anybody I've seen, at least in the handful of years. Maybe the overall class isn't as good, but for the question, bye.
Right. Lenny?
No question. They'll be the first two picks.
All right. Going to college basketball again. Ronnie, you're up. College basketball is toying with the idea of moving the shot clock to 30 seconds. This move will make the game more entertaining.
I don't know. Hold. I don't know why.
Hold it.
I don't know what to say to that.
That's why.
I don't know. I don't know. Dan will be much more knowledgeable than I will.
Money's going
to
hold it,
Dan. I'm just holding, Dan, because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, I think certainly they just had a poll. I know ESPN did one where about 60% said they would lower it. The coaches would prefer to lower it from 35 to 30. The amazing part, my dad officiates Division III basketball, women's, some men's as well, does high school men's and women's. Got the referee, Candace Parker, first time she ever dunked in high school. Women's college basketball has a 30-second shot clock. And I know there are some great women athletes out there, but certainly comparing to guys in the men's league who play above the rim on a consistent basis, and, you know, athletes that can run 4-4 or 4-5, whether they're playing basketball or football, these are the greatest athletes in the world, many people feel, in basketball. And you're looking at Anthony Davis. He could lower, they could, you know, raise the rim to 13 feet. He'd still be throwing jams down. 30 seconds, I think, would be no issues for any person that realizes how quick the pace is in NBA basketball. And a lot of these players in college basketball have no problem lowering it to 35 to 30. You look at the NBA with 24 seconds, and some feel that should be lowered. But I think you look at the half-court sets and how slow, and it's almost like paint dry for some teams that don't have premier talent, because they're going to try to get an offensive rebound and take at least a full minute off the clock, because if they don't, they'll get run out of the gym. And there's only one reason to, you know, argue against that. Recruit better players and athletes if you're afraid of a shot clock getting lowered to get more shots off. A lot of NBA teams try to get 90 to 100 off, and so I think I would have no problem. 30 seconds is the way to go.
Hey, that's fair enough. And, Dan, unfortunately, we have ran out of time. I've got a couple of more questions. Going to have to save them for next week. So, once again, appreciate you calling in, and really appreciate you changing the time for us today.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. Guys, always appreciative as always. Have a great weekend, and have a great rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good one, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dan Vosta, once
again. Man of knowledge.
The man of knowledge. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll come back.
We'll be back in just a minute with the Dan Show right here.
Yeah, with Rich Chambers, our local fishing pro, if he hasn't froze. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
You know, I thought after the State of the Union, when Obama said there would be no more crises in the United States, we wouldn't have to do this week live anymore.
I don't know which speechwriter told him that. Maybe he just thought the newly elected Republican Congress would come in and everything would be rosy.
Ooh, well, we just won't have anything to talk about now, will we?
There's always news, whether it's local, statewide, or national.
Yeah, there's nothing happening in the state of Alabama right now. Can you say gay marriage?
And I can always find some political scandal happening.
Oh, please, let me help. All right, pull up a web browser. Go Google open internet, Google net neutrality. You know, nothing like your broadband bill going up. I'm sure it's not a tax. It's a penalty, right?
At least we still have free speech for now.
So this week live is back at a new time. Tune in still on Mondays, but now from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
All right, 525 run in, just right on schedule.
As always,
Rex
baby.
Rex has not froze. He has fallen
right
in. Hey, Rex, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be back.
Hey, Rex, how are you, man?
Oh, a little chilled.
Are you telling me that you're out on the water today? Is that what you're telling me in that text?
Just got off, yeah.
You're tough.
Rex.
Well, not quite as cold down here in Clanton.
Okay.
There, but
yeah, there's probably 3 or 4 degrees difference.
Oh, yeah. It's like summertime. How's the wind?
25 mile an hour straight out of the north, so it's running right down this bottom.
Oh, my.
It's a little rough.
Wow. So you're practicing for a tournament. Is that correct?
Down here for the Alabama Bass Trail, first event of the season, South Division.
Wow. Oh man, I don't know how you, I just don't know how you stood it up with all the wind.
Well, it was rough.
Yeah.
This lake don't get like gunners.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, you don't have 4-foot rollers going down the channel. But I mean it's real windy. If you get out of the wind, it's almost impossible down here. There's very few creeks and stuff
right
in. But yeah, like I said, the sun was shining. If you did get out of wind, it was actually kind of nice.
Not too bad. Were you in your boat, your big boat?
Yeah, we're in the Phoenix down here. Brent Crow and I are down here to fish the South Division.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun next 2 days.
Wow. I know you love that Phoenix boat, don't you?
Oh, can't beat it. You can. It's just, they're probably the newest brand on the market, but they're also the number one selling bass boat in the country right now, so it's just tough to beat. Everybody that gets one loves them.
Right. I've seen a lot of them, but I begin to salivate when I see it, but they are a beautiful, beautiful rig.
Yes, they are. Hard, like I said, they're hard to beat.
Right. Hey, Rex, I want to ask you something, and maybe you can enlighten us. I don't know if you can just over the radio, but here's my question. And one week, you know, we talked about if somebody's looking to buy a boat, you know, what they look for. Where I want to go today is on a depth finder or a fish finder or whatever. You know, there's so much out there now, Rex, with this down imaging and side imaging. Can you just Can you take us through that and tell us kind of what those things are, what they do? And if somebody's looking to buy a depth finder, you know, if they have a limited budget, what might be something they'd want to try to buy? Can you do that for us?
Now, how long is this show?
If you could squeeze just a portion of that into about 10 minutes.
Hey, listen, you got two on the market. You got Lowrance and you got Humminbird. Now, are there more? Yes, there's Garmin. There's all sorts of brand names out there. Lowrance and Humminbird are your two biggest sellers. They pretty much come standard on any new boat. That's your very first option. Everybody asks you, uh-huh, if you want Lowrance or Humminbird.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's like Chevy and Ford, okay?
Right.
My partner down here with me today, he's a Lowrance guy.
Uh-huh.
Loves them. I'm a Humminbird guy. Love them. You'll have different people tell you different things. Why one's better than the other.
Sure, sure.
But as a whole, your down imaging and side imaging and your regular old graph, down imaging, what it does for you is it gives you a very detailed look at what's directly under you. It's not like your regular graph that you usually see. It's just more detail. It'll show a jagged edge on a rock. Where if you were just looking at your regular depth finder, you just see a clump of something there.
Now, Rex, correct me if I'm wrong. The down imaging is not what you're going to use to locate fish.
Yes, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. I mean, it does locate fish.
Right, yeah, right. I know it does, but does the sonar portion of not do a better job of locating fish for you to see than the down imaging?
As a rule of thumb, yes.
Okay.
Because the down imaging is so precise and detailed. That's what you more or less want to find your structure with, your drops. Pretty much see what you're going over at that moment.
Okay, let me ask you another question, Rex. If someone is looking at their sonar, what dictates a fish? How do you know you're looking at a fish?
Hours and hours of looking at your sonar. Really and truly, it is an art. It's something that you have to learn. And it's very, very difficult to explain over the phone.
That's what I figured.
On your regular sonar, you can do your settings to show fish as an arch.
Right.
Just show fish as a fish, you know, it looks like a little, uh-huh, little fish toy going, uh-huh, across there.
Uh-huh.
There are certain ways you can set it, but when you're looking at down imaging and side imaging, the side imaging is fairly simple too. Your side imaging, of course, it shoots out from the side of the boat. You set your length as far as you want your sonar beam to shoot out. I think the maximum is like 120 foot on each side.
That's a lot more than down imaging.
Well, down imaging is what
it's just right below
under,
you, right?
Directly under your trolling motor or your back transducer.
Okay.
But your side imaging shoots out to the side of the boat, which saves people a lot of time on the water as far as idling around looking for structure. But now showing fish on side imaging, now they're very distinct. They show up as little white dots, and usually there's more than one together.
Uh-huh.
And you'll learn what you can tell is a school of shad and a school of big fish. They just don't look alike. They're still little white dots,
mm-hmm,
but they're different. And so, but yeah, side imaging is probably a little bit easier to see fish on than your down imaging, just because your down imaging is so precise.
Okay. That's kind of, you know, because my son, he loves to fish, and I like looking at the latest new technology stuff out there too. And you know, that's some things I'd heard him talking about was, you know, down imaging and side image. Now, if you're talking about a Humminbird or a Lowrance and you're going to buy a depth finder that will do, I guess, all of those things for you, how much money, aren't you talking about several coins now for one of those things?
Well, just say you get, I have two different sizes on my boat. The one I have is a Humminbird 1199, which means it is an 11-inch screen. That's what I have on my console of my Phoenix.
Okay.
Now on the bow, I have what they call a 999. It's a 9-inch screen. It's a little smaller. Now, you got some of these guys that have 211s up front, 211s in the back.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You're looking at 1199 runs you right at $2,000.
Wow.
They're not cheap. The 999 runs about anywhere from $800 to $1,200. So, yeah, they're not inexpensive, but they do get the job done. Can you get a lot cheaper? You can downsize and go down, you can downsize and go down to a 6-7 inch screen and spend $300-$500.
Okay, let's just say that you do that. You go down and you spend $300-$400. Even at that price, aren't you getting a decent product? Aren't you getting a decent view of what's going on?
You're getting the exact same thing that this $2,000 unit has, pretty much. It's just on a smaller scale.
I see.
They'll do the same things, but you're just getting on a smaller scale.
Okay, but the quality of the picture is essentially the same.
Right. If your eyes are good enough to see it. Yes.
if they're good enough to see it. Right.
That's the one reason why I have the big ones. I'm getting blind in my old age, and I have to have the big screen.
Sure.
Same as at home. Got to have that 60.
I hear you. So you know, if you have a one of those, the depth finder, you know, on your console and up front, and you can potentially easily spend, you know, really, I guess, directs as much as you want or as little as you want, right?
You can really spend whatever your budget. You can find you something to use. I've seen some 1199s on some Katoma rigs on Lake Katoma.
Really,
we're going overboard and putting them on there. You know, some of them, depth finders cost more than their boat.
I was going to say, that's more than a boat, isn't it? Boat, you know, and a motor.
But, thing about it is that is your number one fish finding thing you have in your boat is your sonar.
Right.
And so it is worth the investment.
Wow. I mean, I knew some were expensive and I'd heard of those things, but, you know, I just didn't know the details about how technology is—it's certainly changed in the fishing world, isn't it?
Well, hey, you can go up from what that is. They have a 360 view that shows you from, I think, 100 feet ahead of your boat, not just out to the side or out to the right or out to the left.
Uh-huh.
It shows you what's in front of your boat coming up. You're looking at spending $300 to $3,500 on one of those.
Oh man, you've got to be serious for that.
That's more than I care to know.
if you can't find it with the sonar and the, you know, the depth finders you got now, you don't need to be out there fishing then, do you?
There you go.
Wow, that's impressive. So again, the market is out there for anybody if you want to spend, you know, $100 to $300 to $3,000, just whatever your pocketbook allows you to buy. There's something there for you.
That's right. If you just want something to put on a small little boat that just shows you fish you're going over, you can literally go to Walmart or,
uh-huh,
or Vans or anybody that carries fishing tackle and get you $100-$150 depth finder.
And it would serve your purpose.
Yeah, it sure would.
Well, great. Well, hey, Rex, thanks, man. That was the questions I wanted to ask you about, you know, and the symbols. And I'd read, you know, I saw where, you know, the fish will show up as arches, and if it shows up with a color in the arch, that's a big fish because it's supposed to be the bladder. Is that right? Bladder?
It all depends on how
the fish is turned.
Well, you can set your depth finders to show you just about anything you want it to show.
I got you.
Really can.
You just have to tailor it to you, whatever you want.
You just have to have a master's degree in electronics, and you can set it the way you want it.
It sounds like you need to be a computer engineer or something.
I'm pretty much based on factory settings.
So hey, well, thanks, Rex. Hey, but now, when does the tournament kick off for you?
Oh, it's just the one day, just on Saturday. Okay. So we'll practice again tomorrow, and I have a meeting tomorrow evening, and the tournament's on Saturday.
I got you. Did you catch some good fish today?
One.
Caught one. Tough day, huh?
It's got to get better.
It's got to get better, man.
Yep. That's one more than I had when I come down.
Hey, there you go. There you go. So something to be said for that.
There we go.
All right. Hey, Rex, thanks, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you calling. And stay safe and dry out there.
Y'all have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Rex. There you go. There's Rex Chambers with us, our local Coleman professional, and there's not been anything I haven't asked him that he can't answer, and he doesn't know what's coming until he calls us. So appreciate him telling us and kind of explaining a little bit about fish finders and sonar and down imaging and side imaging. So we'll be back shortly. The number 737-9951 if you'll take a shot at moolah. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. This is the music we love.
I can't hear it.
This is Live 95 music. This is Live 95 music. If you like this,
through the forests, we should swim in the streams, we should laugh, we should cry, we should love, we should dream.
And this, and this, then this is your radio station, Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
You know, I thought after the State of the Union, when Obama said there would be no more crises in the United States, we wouldn't have to do this week live anymore.
I don't know which speechwriter told him that. Maybe he just thought the newly elected Republican Congress would come in and everything would be rosy.
Ooh, well, we just won't have anything to talk about now, will we?
There's always news, whether it's local, statewide, or national.
Yeah, there's nothing happening in the state of Alabama right now. Can you say gay marriage?
And I can always find some political scandal happening.
Oh, please, let me help. All right, pull up a web browser. Go Google Open Internet, Google Net Neutrality. You know, nothing like your broadband bill going up. Now, I'm sure it's not a tax. It's a penalty, right?
At least we still have free speech, for now.
So this week live is back at a new time. Tune in still on Mondays, but now from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock, right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
All right, 5:41, winding down on a Thursday afternoon. Cold Springs, Lady Eagles, about 19, 20 minutes away from tip-off. They're on schedule, and we are only a minute or two away from Coach Bobby Meyer us about the Bearcats.
And he plays when?
Tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m.
Tomorrow morning at 10:30. Be a lot of... A lot of kids down there in the ball game to get out of school. I remember those days.
And, you know, the only bad thing about Wallace that I have found, the seating is great, the popcorn is great, the ball games are great, is parking. It is unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it is like, when you get down there, it's like there's 60,000 people down there.
I know.
When you start hunting a parking place.
You're right. It parked everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it, $3 a pop, $5 a pop
at, or something? At the regional tournaments, it's going to be, they're going to charge you to... $3, I think, to park, $8 a head to get in. But if you want to see your team play, it's worth it.
That's right. Money's no object.
That's right. As long as you find a parking place.
Yeah.
If you want to park in the morning, I would get there early because Coleman will have a crowd there.
There's no question. They'll have a huge crowd.
Athens always brings a good crowd.
Yep.
And so it should be interesting. Should be a good ball game to watch.
Should be.
I think the Bearcats get to win. In fact, I'm gonna go ahead and predict Cold Springs wins tonight. Cold Springs girls win tonight.
Yeah.
Coleman gets a win tomorrow. And then Fairview girls, I'm afraid it may end for them.
But hey.
But they pulled the upset already, yeah.
I mean, they're there.
That's right.
You know, I mean, they
made
it to the...
First time since 1997, I think.
So, I mean, that is a huge accomplishment for them.
Doubt.
You know, regardless of how this thing turns out now, because I would probably be safe to say, and I think that Coach Hartline, if you told her, would you be satisfied if your team made it to the regionals at Wallace this year? She'd probably be doing backflips.
Oh, yeah. Probably and everybody in Fairview.
And they're going to be getting better because they're young. Very young. So they are a team to really, for folks really to look out for in the next couple of years.
And
or a few
as
years.
We've seen with Cold Springs girls, Holly Pond girls now, seems like once you get that ball rolling, the younger kids start to get interested. They see the wins and all, and then it kind of starts dominating. Mm-hmm. You start having better teams, and then you find yourself in the position Holly Pond girls and Cold Springs girls.
Right. Yep.
All right. Without any further...
Speaking of a legend.
Coach Bobby Meyer, the Coleman Bearcats. Coach, first, congratulations. Yeah. Hey, Bunny's back, so it's wild.
I'm here.
What's
going on, Coach?
We're just wrapping up another day teaching the masses.
Buddy. How was practice?
It was good. It was a little unusual today. We've got... we're walking wind these days with flu and injuries and all kind of stuff. So we're piecing together a practice.
I got you. Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell me you're not going to have some kids that's going to miss because of the flu.
We couldn't have anybody miss for any reason.
Okay.
Whether we're at 100% will be another thing. But
right.
So we should have them all intact, but we're going to have some that are not 100%, that's for sure.
Oh, wow.
It's not good at this
time. Sure,
at
this time.
You know, coming down a stretch, you know, to do something that's big, you got to be very good and you got to be lucky. And you want to be more lucky in a lot of cases. So this is not good luck.
Absolutely. So, hey, tell us a little bit about your opponent for tomorrow.
Well, Athens is a team that was down in the regionals last year. In fact, they made some regional finals against who did put them out last year down there? They beat Winona, and then we're beaten by, it's escaping me. I can't remember. But they, you know, they made the regional finals, and got some returning players. Two real key guys is Trey Potts, who's about a 6'7" or 6'8" kid that can really play and jump and has good skills. And then Jackson Pettis, who's probably the best shooter I've seen in the state this year, is one of their two guys, and so they've got those two guys. They've got another really talented kid who was on the point lefty, about 6'5", and then they fill in with some other guys around them that are, you know, good role players. So, you know, they're a very good team, and they're having a good year, and so they're a big challenge for us.
So you're gonna have to play well.
Oh yeah. This time of year, you know, the four teams that are made it down to the Northwest. With Athens and then Lee and Austin, man, they're all good.
Absolutely.
And you know, my little midgets, we're trying to keep up with them.
You guys need to keep shooting it well, don't you?
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, Coach, what I was going to ask you. You, when you were calling over those heights, and anybody that has seen Coleman knows that's one thing you're not blessed with is height. How do you play these guys? I mean, how do you go about? You know, you got to shoot the ball good.
Right.
In the other factions of the game, how do you go up against people with this kind of height?
You just have to smoke and mirrors a lot of times, literally. You have to find some of their strengths and try to limit their strengths. And then, you know, with their weaknesses, try not to put so much emphasis with your defense on that weakness and allow that to kind of spill over and play against their strengths, too. So that's some of the things we're looking at with these guys. You know, if you got a player on the floor that's not a big weapon offensively, we try and help off as much as possible with that guy. And we try, you know, when you got guys that are bigger, that
one of the things you try and do is stay in contact with those guys, the jumpers, and if they're going to be effective on the boards, you just got to stay in constant contact and limit the penetration. We try to limit penetration, and if you're going to shoot it from the perimeter, and you know, of course, that's a lower percentage shot. So those are some little things, but you just got to out battle them too and play harder on both ends of the floor.
I said you got to have the heart, and I think you guys have got it. Coach, were you at all surprised at the margin of victory over Minor the other night?
You know, no, I wasn't. I felt like we could score better with those guys. My guards are just hard to match up with, and they didn't match up well with our guards. So Lawson and Bronte and Seth all had good games. And, you know, they did have some size on us. They had about a 6'7" kid down low, and we held him to 0 points. So, you know, our post guys did a good job at playing the defense, and we helped them too. But, it was a good game on the defensive end. And Myers, one of those typical Birmingham schools that want to play to a low score.
Yeah.
And they come in, and it's an odd game to play because they'll run offense for 45 seconds, a minute, and they're really never, ever looking to shoot the ball.
Absolutely. Parker do you the same way.
Yeah, I mean, they're never even testing the waters. You know, usually you'll try and drive a gap and see what they won't even do that. So it was a weird game to play, and you know, luckily we got some stops and some leads, and you know, we actually, and I very rarely have ever done this, we pulled the ball out in the third quarter when we were up 7 or 8 points, and I said, well, I mean, there's only going to be so many possessions. Why don't we just cut the possessions down? So we literally went into a little bit of our own stall in the third quarter and just said, well, we'll just spread it out too. And, we did that in the fourth quarter. We went to the, got the bonus. And, you know, I knew then if they did play us tight on the perimeter that our guards would draw fouls, and they did, and went to the line and shot free throws. So it worked out in that situation. But, you know, tomorrow will be a totally different situation. Athens is a team that wants to score points and runs offense to score points and has good weapons, and so we're going to have to really, you know, play on both ends to stay with this game.
I got you. That's one thing I was going to ask you, Coach. What kind of style does, you know, Athens play? You know, are they going to get up and down the floor, or, you know, a little bit more under control? I mean, a little bit more patient, you know, hang on to a little bit more, or what?
They want to stress you. They're going to play some three-quarter traps, three-quarter press, mix it up. They'll play a two-front, an odd front with the big kid on front of it. He's really athletic. They'll play some multiple zones. They'll play some man. So they're going to try and mix it up to confuse you and allow their athletes to make plays, and you know, they're going to try and go score when they get it. And so in offense, again, they're not going to be deliberate. They're going to come down and run their sets to try and get it to a scoring position. But they're well coached. Coach Tedford, I think, played at Austin or DeSager. I can't remember which one. I think it's from Austin. He's their coach, and he's a well-schooled coach, does a great job. And they'll attack us with their strengths for sure, with their big guys, and we'll have to be ready. But, you know, our style is different. We try to make sure that, you know, they're going to have to defend our style. And so, you know, we'll have to defend their style.
Right.
You know, their post-up style, so we got to defend that. So we got to make them defend our transition game and getting it up and down and getting some good quick threes, hopefully. And, my guys can attack the basket, too. So we've played just big guys, and that's one of those things that, you know, we're used to doing.
Right. Coach, would you say you would prefer to have this game to be, say, in the 70s as the 50s?
You know, it's going to be interesting because, again, I've got some guys, my depth is a little affected right now, and I'm not sure I want to quite open it up like that because I don't have my regular depth. But
okay,
in a normal circumstance, yes.
Right.
But you know, when it gets down to this level of play in the Sweet 16, and even when you start playoff basketball,
that's right. It changes.
It becomes more important possession by possession.
Absolutely.
You really don't turn it loose that way. You got to play on both ends, make good defensive stops, and have good sets on offense. Get the shots you want, be high percentage. And so that's we won't quite go that far and try and keep the ball in the 40s and 50s.
Right.
we do want to score some points. I think that's important that we put some points on the board because that offsets maybe not getting so many defensive stops.
Right. I think, as you said just a minute ago, Coach, at this time of the year, this is when quality possessions really play the dominant factor. If you have to get quality possessions, you can't go down and make a lot of turnovers. You know, you just can't do that. You've got to get field goal attempts.
Right. No turnovers, limit second shots, you know, get the shots you want, don't shoot contested shots, and those are all keys, and the little things, as you know, are what's going to win and lose, and the important things, defending well, rebounding well, are going to be what wins these big games.
Coach, I got one more to throw at you, and then if Ronnie's got anything else, but 10:30 tip-off in the morning, how different is a morning game? I know your guys are used to playing the last game at night after a relaxing evening, but how different is that morning game?
It is different. You guys have seen it and went through it. We've not done anything special, you know, to prepare for it or anything, but we'll get up in the morning and meet somewhere. We're going to meet at Chick-fil-A at 7. So if you want to eat with the team, come on over at 7 o'clock. We're going to eat at Chick-fil-A because that's a meal that, you know, the kids are used to. You got to eat something that's not going to be real heavy. So we'll eat there about 7. We'll come back to the gym after that, do some light shooting. And we want to be walking in the gym at 9 o'clock down there in the morning when the girls' game starts. And kind of settle into the bleachers for a little bit and do your regular routine of heading in at halftime and all that stuff. So we're going to try and keep that part routine. The other thing I can kind of fall back on is, you know, we go to team camps. You play early morning games and that sort of thing. And it does take you a little bit longer to get warmed up, but you just got to make sure that you've had something to eat because kids, when they haven't eaten, they'll run out of energy quick in the mornings.
Right.
And you've eaten, not just right before you walk in there. We've all seen also situations where little kids have left the breakfast on the floor.
Hey, Coach, the good thing, it's going to be 10:30 also for Athens.
So. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't know what Athens' plans are. They may be staying the night here in town. But if they're not, they're going to have to add an hour and 15 minutes travel to their whole morning. So
that's
I don't
right.
know how they're going to do it.
Right. Hey, Coach, I know, you know, you've been down there before. You've been down there currently with you're there now. You were there last year. You were there when you were at Vinemont. Certainly went on to the, you know, state finals at Vinemont. So you know what it's about. You know there's no shock. There's no surprises. But are you to the point right now, honestly, with your team at Coleman, that you know what, guys, getting here just ain't good enough right now?
Yeah, we are. This bunch especially, and that's what you want. We've had kids, we've played the best teams in the state. And so now, and we've beaten the best teams in the state. And so we do expect that. Now, the four teams are down there, including us, any one of the four can make it to the out of Northwest Regionals. You got to have all the factors right, no injuries, any little things like that. And then you got to be pretty good. Now, these teams are really good.
Right.
Lee of Huntsville is just, you know, they're number one in the state.
Right.
You got Austin, who we've been fortunate enough to beat twice. He's just super talented. They're great. And then Athens is an upstart team that's got guys back from a regional final. So, yeah, we do expect that. These guys, if we lose today or tomorrow, Tuesday, it's going to be a huge disappointment because we fully expect we want a shot at going to Birmingham and playing down there. So, yeah, expectations is something you got to have here at Coleman. My teams, we've never been able to win that first game at the regional. In previous years, Coach Dean's teams, it's always been, you know, you meet up against somebody and get knocked out in that first round. So we do want to step over that hurdle. And, you know, we're going to definitely be thinking that. And there's no, you know, sometimes you go down there and you're a little in awe. We've made it. And oh, wow, here we're here. This is not the way with this team. We fully expect to go down there and compete and have a chance to win.
Right. Right. Well, hey, we wish you the best of luck, Coach.
That's right, Coach.
Thank you.
I know you're going to have a good crowd, and, man, as Ronnie said, best of luck. And I told Ronnie earlier, I think you're going to get the victory. I think you're going to bring it back. But best of luck to you.
We're going to work. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Coach.
Good seeing you guys.
All right, man. Thanks for calling us.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Coach Bobby Meyer, Coleman Bearcats.
Great guy.
Yes. And I'm telling you, Coleman couldn't be in better hands going into that game. So
that's exactly right.
Maybe the shots will fall.
Yeah, we should all of our teams here in the county just the best of luck.
Hey, there's been years we didn't have four teams.
There's been years we didn't have any. Yeah.
I was afraid to say that because I was afraid they might pull a Dan on me.
Yeah. We just wish them all the best of luck.
That hey, quick play question the best for you, Lenny. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
What kind of financial impact does this tournament make on Coleman County, Hinesville, Coleman City? I mean, I know you don't have a dollar figure, but it's
no,
big.
But it's huge.
And what about schools? Does the schools that's represented down there get any
of
the money?
They will. They'll get a cut, a percentage off of that. You know, it's decent. It's not overwhelming. Of course, a big percentage of that will go back to the High School Athletic Association. Right. You know, they get a big piece of it. Wallace will get some. They'll get some of it. But it is some is distributed back to the schools, and it certainly covers expenses. And they make a little bit of money, but it's not huge.
You're
money.
Not in high school basketball to get rich.
They don't make $4,000 or $5,000 off of it. You're right. It is a huge boost for the economy locally.
Right.
Because this is the busiest. There's more people attend this Northwest Regional at Wallace than attends any of the other three, because there's four locations across the state. You know, Northeast, Northwest, Southeast, Southwest. This one always has more people attend it. So it's
always good crowds, and if you want a fast food place, you might want to look for buses when you go through town.
You better believe it. So
packed up.
All the food places, they're licking their chops this week, so they're going to make some hay.
All right, again, Ronnie, glad to have you back.
Glad to be back,
It's
Jason.
Time to call it a day and go to the house, get under a warm blanket, and turn the radio on.
Yeah.
And see if we can pick up some scores, get Twitter going, see if we can get some scores.
And watch the dog channel.
That's it. But we'll be back. We'll be back Tuesday to talk about what happened tonight. And maybe have some teams playing Tuesday. So stay with us at 95.5, and we're going to be back with you. Until then, a big War Eagle.
And a big old Road Tide.
We'll see you Tuesday, folks. You've been listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio Station.